technique.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
9547, not 130 for Jordan. He's going to miss at least a few weeks, if not a month, with injuries throughout the season. Due to injury, you got to always take the under on Alvarez's counting numbers.
Bite your tongue, Texter. We don't need to get the bad juju on Jordan. Just leave him alone.
Yeah, 9547 sounds fun.
Seriously, just lay off of that.
Fun person to spend time with. 713-780-ESPN, if you want to bring the uplifting nature like 9547. HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776. Should we just be sad for the next hour?
No.
Nick Caserio made a free agent addition this weekend. He signed UCF American Conference great to the secondary. Shaquille Griffin is the newest Houston Texan, former Pro Bowler. Went to Jacksonville, didn't have great success after he got a little bit of a paycheck. When everybody was talking about, after the draft, how they wanted Nick Caserio to spend the money, everybody's like, oh, well, they need to make a splash on Jadeveon Clowney, Frank Clark, Yannick Ngakoue. They need to go make this big splash with the remaining money and sign one player. And you and I, who have the sense in the room, we have the common sense. Look, this Texans team has a lot of holes. And look, 1 through 22, they might look fine on paper, but if they're a couple injuries away, they're a couple of sprained ankles away from having one of the worst rosters in the NFL, Caserio needs to be spending the rest of the money on depth, signing some backups to improve the overall 53. A rising tide lifts all boats kind of thing. I like this addition. I don't think it's going to be like a huge splash. I don't think he's going to be great. But if Derek Stingley Jr. misses 2 weeks, you have a fill-in who's more than capable of starting NFL games. I like what Nick Caserio is doing with his remaining funds.
Upside, I do too. Upside, I'd like to compare this to the Stevie Nelson signing. And just saying, you've got a veteran that's been there, done that. I think he's got enough left in the tank where he could possibly help you, whether it's everybody stays healthy and you find it, you know, a nickel situation and situations to get him on the field. Or like you said, as a guy that's a capable backup that steps in no matter who it is that might get injured short or long term, he steps in and he can really help you maintain. I think it's a good pickup by Nick Caserio. I think, again, it's another experienced player that can help the locker room, help the secondary, help that room, you know, when they're going through practices and meetings to make everybody around him, including a Stingley, better. But I think that he can still help on the field, and that's why. And it wasn't a break the bank price. I like it.
No, see, it's one of the moves where I don't think he's going to start.
No,
He's not really a slot corner. And you have Desmond King there. You have Thomas there. That are like capable guys in the slot. You have Stevie Nelson. You have Derek Stingley Jr. He's obviously not going to start over one of those two guys. But Derek Stingley Jr. didn't play every game last year. It's the NFL. Guys get hurt. So to be able to go from, if you know, this isn't like an upgrade over Stevie Nelson or Derek Stingley Jr., but instead of having to play Kendall Sheffield or Darius Phillips or Kobe Francis, if there's an injury, then you start Shaquille Griffin for 3 weeks. So I like how Nick Caserio is spending the remaining funds. I like that he's not just going to spend it all on Jadeveon Clowney whenever you already have Will Anderson, you already have John Gernard, you already have Jerry Hughes. There's no real sense. You drafted Dylan Horton. Like, why would you be signing, using all of your remaining free agency money on a defensive end who's a gimmicky player? Like, find depth.
Yep.
I think this is a depth move. There's one other position where I would like them to sign depth. Is it guard? A guy who can play left guard and right guard. More preferably left guard, to be honest with you, because I...
You worried about Kenyon Green?
It's for two reasons. One, if Kenyon Green disappoints, because look, I'm going into the year with Kenyon Green as my starter.
Yeah,
no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if Kenyon Green disappoints, Jimmy Morrissey right now is the guy that would be taking his spot. Like, go sign a veteran guard who can play left and right guard, back up both positions, and try to, again, improve that room without actually adding a starter. But you have a backup plan in case Kenyon Green stinks, and then you have a good backup plan in case one of them gets hurt.
I was thinking the same, along the same lines, but a little difference in terms of the variety of the skill position. I was thinking center guard. I was thinking a veteran center guard.
Cool with that.
That's played both, because in case the rookies don't pan out at center,
yeah,
and or if you need backup help at the guard position, you got a guy that's versatile, but you got that, again, that's been there, that knows how to play both positions and can also help the development of the young players. Because I want to believe that Kenyon Green, he's a good kid. We had him in the studio right after the Texans drafted him, and you know, you're pulling for him. But I hope that he got the wake-up call that we did, that he wasn't ready for his first year in the NFL and that there was a lot of work to be done. I hope his pass blocking is something he's worked on all offseason. But I'd like to have some veterans around him in the room that can help him maybe figure some things out that maybe some of the coaches he's been working with or the strength trainers and other trainers he's been working with haven't been able to help him with. Get a better people around him, coaching staff. I don't think I'll worry about what Lovey and his staff's going to do for him. I think they'll help. But I think veterans in the room would help him as well. And I was just thinking a guard center.
Yeah, I'm cool with that, too. I wonder if they think Quisenberry's enough of like a veteran to be a solid backup as like, you know, insurance in case Juice Scruggs and or Jared Patterson don't work out, to where Quisenberry can be that like the understudy, the veteran in the room, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't have tons of confidence in Quisenberry, but I wonder if they think that he's fine in that role. Jared Patterson, who they also drafted out of Notre Dame, I think they can play all three interior offensive line positions. I think he was at rookie minicamp playing a little bit right guard and left guard. I don't know if he put his hand on the ball or not. That's a good question. But I think that they might even view Jared Patterson as their swing guard backup, which I don't love that for a rookie. I'd rather he be like plan C than plan B. The name that intrigues me is Dalton Risner, to be completely honest with you. The left guard from Denver, who's probably the best guard that's still left on the market, was considered one of the top 100 free agents.
Wasn't he a first-round pick when he came out?
Let me look it up. I don't remember if he was a first-round pick or not. But
I want to believe that the Broncos drafted him high.
I don't remember.
Anyway, yeah, look.
He was drafted number 41, so he's a second-round pick.
Pretty high for a guard,
though. Yeah.
That's really high for a guard.
Yeah, I remember when he was drafted, and I think Elway drafted him. And there was a big deal about how they believed that this kid could really be something. So, look, I just think the more veterans around Kenyon Green are going to help him and the center position, too, because it's such an important position, and they really relied on the draft to try and find a starter and depth, and that's a bit scary for me.
Yeah, I would like one more interior offensive lineman, however you slice it, whether it's, the Dalton Risner, who's never really been a center, but or a center-guard hybrid that could play back up all three positions. I think that'd be really good, too. Middle linebacker's kind of curious to me. Like, I don't think they're going to play a whole lot of, 4-3. I know that their base package is kind of 4-3-ish, but I think they're going to be a lot more in the nickel, kind of more of a 4-2-5. But you still have, two linebackers that you need to play. And outside of Christian Harris, I don't really love a whole lot else. Like,
they're going to cut Perryman, the star, right?
Christian Kirksey, I don't know. Like, why wouldn't they have already done it?
I don't know why
he was playing in the golf tournament the other day, too. I don't think they're cutting him.
I don't understand why they haven't already done it.
The only thing I
could think of is that when he gets to camp, they want to see...
He might be your second-best linebacker, though. Like, that's the state of the linebacker core that I'm not in love with. Like, I love Harris. I think Harris has a chance to be really good. Yeah. And, they have some, decent niche players that, hustle. And, you like to have them on the roster.
Well, they signed two veterans.
Who are you talking about?
The Texans signed...
Corey Littleton or whatever.
And,
but do you think Littleton's better than Kirksey? Like, I think they're in the same tier.
Depends on what they got left in the tank. I think he's younger. I think Kirksey... Man, I saw Kirksey a couple years ago just completely crap the bed with the Packers. I thought he was going to – I didn't think he could ever do anything with the Texans. He's been serviceable, but I think his time here is done.
Yeah. I mean, Littleton's 1 year younger. Like, I really don't think either guy's actually, capable of being an NFL starter on a good team. I think they're both backups. And then you have a couple of tryhards, like Garrett Wallow tries hard, good guy to have on special teams. Blake Cashman. Brian Cashman's brother, good guy to have on special teams. You like to have him on the roster. You don't want him playing more than 15 snaps defensively each and every game. So, linebacker's an interesting thing. See if they want to upgrade there. I've heard a lot of conversation. Someone just texted this into 9780. Would love to add another wide receiver to the Texans. I don't see this at all. Like, I don't see the vision of adding a wide receiver. I've heard people say trade for a legitimate number one receiver. But the Texans have already made their big swing this year in the draft. I don't see them using future draft capital to trade for number one. What number one is out there? What wide receiver is out there? I think the wide receiver room that they currently have, I think they go to camp with this. I think they go into the season with this. I don't see the Texans adding receiver at all.
I think they like the talent and the youth. You'd like to have it's easy to say you'd like to have a wide receiver one.
Sure, everybody would,
but you'd like to have that kind of prototypical big body but still have some speed, but can be both a possession receiver and like a go-to physical receiver. I think Nico Collins is a guy that they're looking at maybe to try and be that kind of guy. I don't think he's that guy, but it's not like we know the priority of all these teams right now with wide receivers. I don't think anybody's trying to give you a quality big receiver, wide receiver one type talent.
I don't see the plan. Like, I really don't. Like, I don't think there's a great receiver in this room. Like, I don't think there is a wide receiver one. I like some of the pieces. I'm intrigued by some of the pieces. I'm really intrigued by John Mechie. Former second-round pick. We never saw him play. He's still a second-round pick with second-round talent. Very excited to see John Mechie play. Obviously, I'm really excited to see Tank Dell play. Go Cougs. But you have those two guys. You have Nico Collins. You have Robert Woods, you signed in free agency. You signed Noah Brown. You drafted Xavier Hutchinson in, you know, the sixth round or whatever it was. That's six receivers right there. Like, where are you improving in the wide receiver room, and which of those dudes isn't making the team?
I don't know who's
like,
still out there. I think right now they're going to roll with Robert Woods at that wide
receiver. He's your
veteran. Yeah.
I don't think he's wide receiver one, honestly.
But that's what they're going to put him in that position. I mean, just as you label the receivers on the field.
I think the top three are going to be Nico, Mechie, Tank.
Ooh, I think Robert Woods is going to start.
I think Robert Woods, he might start the season, but I'm saying at the end of the year, when we look at the Texans wide receiver core, I think Robert Woods is going to have the fourth best stats at best.
It's possible.
I think he's possible to be cut.
Well, I think it's possible. More possible he gets hurt.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about adding someone, it's almost like Nico Collins insurance,
right?
Like, it's like, are you going to move on from Nico? And but like, what are you like?
I don't see.
It's one of those things where it's like people say like just like add a wide receiver and then like it's but like what are you going to add?
I hope Nico.
And what's the plan after?
Kenny Golladay, Julio Jones,
no,
Jarvis Landry,
Julio Jones,
no.
Way past.
Well, those are the three best wide receivers on the market.
Golladay's
the
guy. I think he's got something left in the tank. But we were talking about this earlier in the show. I question his want to. He got all that money to go to the Giants.
He caught zero touchdowns.
And then just did not care.
Like, I mean, if you're going to go veteran, like, I guess Jarvis Landry?
They already signed their veteran.
But Juice already signed their veteran. Pass.
I think Juice still has some ability, but I think he was hoping to get signed by a playoff caliber team.
Yeah, I think wide receivers set.
You know where I think Juice ends up? Baltimore. With OBJ.
So old.
But LSU guys.
Yeah.
And it adds to their receiver room. I could see him in Baltimore.
Yeah, I don't know. They already have three receivers that are like dudes. Like they drafted Zay. They have right. Odell. Bateman's coming back. Like, is he going to be the fourth string? Is he going to be the number five receiver there? Maybe.
I know Zay's going to be their guy for the future, and they're going to use him. But I think he could be your guy for right now in the slot for Lamar.
Yeah, when you talk about wide receiver and you know wide receiver one, that's a next offseason move.
Yeah,
that's wait and see what the Bengals are going to do with T. Higgins. It's wait and see how bad of a disaster the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are. Maybe they'll move on from Chris Godwin. Even like he's really similar to like your room that you have now. Like yeah, that's a next year.
And you're also trading like draft capital to do so. Like free agency might be where you attack it. Texter saying that they added Denzel Perryman with the linebacker core too. I think it's a good piece. I don't know if he's what you would consider instead of Littleton.
No, I was thinking of both of them. I said they signed two guys.
Yeah.
I don't know where Perryman fits.
I think he's probably your second best linebacker right now, but I don't view him as like a good linebacker on a playoff team. Like I think he's part of a rotation, not really a starter.
And weren't they looking at Littleton more for special teams too?
No idea. I don't know.
I thought that was mentioned when they signed it.
I think they're going to play a lot of 4-2-5 though. Like I think that's going to be mostly like the bigger percentage of their 4-3. So I think only two linebackers are going to be on the field at the same time. It'll probably be Harris and Perryman that lead them in snaps. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. The HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Also, we're officially on James Harden watch. Now, the James Harden season has come to an end. Definitely a polarizing topic in the city of Houston. Oh. Which side of it are you on? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Well, James Harden's season came to an end yesterday. They lost to the Boston Celtics.
Didn't see that coming.
Embarrassing fashion. Embarrassing fashion.
James get to double figures yet?
I have no idea. I didn't watch that game.
Oh.
I was busy, and I listened to the Astros on the way home. But I know that they lost. Did he not score double figures?
He had nine.
That's a good performance. How many assists did he have?
Maybe
it's good. He's not selfish.
He didn't shoot the ball well.
He's not selfish.
Okay.
You're calling him selfish. He's not taking shots in big games. He's not selfish.
I am so sick and tired of the Kool-Aid drinking Rockets fans that keep finding excuses to try and believe that James is the right guy for this rebuild with Houston and then defending him for the crap that we keep seeing him do in big games. Just like when he had the big game early in the series, I said, see me in game 6 and 7. I didn't think it was going to be this bad. I didn't think with Joel Embiid and the team around him, that especially with a 3-1 lead, that he might even have to deal with that. And if he did, he had a good enough supporting cast. The fact that he did once again what everybody, it's like Jose Abreu from a different perspective. You keep trying to find excuses or hold out hope as Rockets fans that he's going to figure it out, and then he's going to want to come back to your city. On so many different levels, I just don't understand it. And now the new narrative is, hey, good thing we didn't want James to come back and be the man and do all the things he did the first time. We just want him to be the point guard that can get all the ball to all the young guys and then let them do all the work. Shut up, because that's not why you want James Harden. And then I'd ask you, at what price? Because if you think that dude, that you're looking, if you want him to be your point guard, or you think he's got something left to be the man, regardless, aside from all the other reasons why I said it's the wrong fit, he's going to want more money than he made this year, probably by a lot, and for more years than you're willing to pay. And that's why I think Rockets fans can be so dumb that they, and why it's like you break up with a chick and she moves on to somebody else, but then she comes crawling back and you take her back. That's on you. He wants to come back here because that's where his bread was buttered when it was good. And now you want to overpay him for what, 3 years at a massive amount of money so that he can try and find and rekindle the fire while he completely prevents your young talent from developing? God, I hope he doesn't come here.
Our listeners aren't a huge fan of the idea of Harden. 0002, Noto Harden and Wilhouse, yes to Paulie G and Magnum P.I. 1538, I don't want Harden around our young team, too cancerous. Ocho, if the Rockets sign Harden, I'm choosing violence. I can see both sides of this, to be completely honest. I'm not a James Harden fan, never have been. I used to say that James Harden would never be the best player on a team that won an NBA title, and I think that I've already been right there.
I don't have to worry about it. That's a Joe George bet.
Yeah, how many teams is he going to that he's going to be the best player, and then how many teams is he going to where he's going to be the best player and they're winning a championship? None. So I think that that conversation is done and over with, and I was on the right side of it. I don't think that James Harden's priority is winning, quite frankly. I think that James Harden's priority is usually about fame, what makes him marketable, you know, selfish interest off the floor, all of those things. I don't think winning's ever been the priority for James Harden. And I think a lot of players are like that. It's not unique to just James Harden, but James Harden is one of those guys. It's why I never really considered him to be a champion. At the same time, he makes the Rockets better next year. Like, there's no doubt that he is a better point guard than Kevin Porter Jr. There's a lot of things that he does during the regular season. Yes, he fades away in the playoffs, but there's a lot of Rocket fans would kill to be in the playoffs next year. A lot of Rocket fans would kill to have James Harden disappear in a game 7 of a playoff series. So, like, I see both sides of it. He would be an immediate upgrade for what they have, but do I think that you're a championship team with James Harden? No. So, like, whenever you say, like, what's the goal? Like, what are you desiring whenever you bring Harden in? I think the answer would be you're now a serious NBA team again. You're a team that could potentially make the playoffs, and you're hoping that he doesn't stunt the growth of the team. I think that would be the most optimistic plan if you brought James Harden in.
So then the pessimistic response to that would be, while trying to do that, he's got to buy in for a full season of not being the man and being the distributor.
He wasn't the man this year.
And the facility. He had Joel Embiid and
a lot of
talent around
him. Sure, but he wasn't the man,
though.
But
right. No, I know. He wasn't capable of doing it. But I think leaving a veteran-laden locker room and a coach like Doc Rivers who preaches structure and coming to – I think the best thing that the Rockets have going for him is Ime Udoka.
Yeah, I don't think they lose anything coaching there.
Yeah, it's not going to settle for that. But I think just from a team-to-team perspective, he did what he did because it was Doc and it was a veteran-laden locker room with guys that would get up in his face if he didn't do what he was supposed to do. And everyone was under the clear understanding that this was Joel Embiid's team. He won MVP. Mm-hmm. He comes to this team, and I don't think he sees any of the same parameters. He doesn't see any of the discipline in the room with the players, the veteran players. And he has to stick to the plan of being a facilitator, which I don't think he's going to be too keen on doing when he starts facilitating and the rookies and the young second-year players aren't finishing their shots.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen him do it too many times.
Now, this past year, and to your point, he did have the MVP. The Rockets have nothing close to an MVP, so I understand where you're coming from with that. But James Harden has never shot less in his career since, like, the early days of Oklahoma City, and he did lead the league in assists. So he was a willing passer and shoot-less guy this past year. Now, the supporting cast would be entirely different, to your point.
And when he gets into this environment, in this city, when he can say, I've been there and done this, he may start feeling like he can do it again. And if the guys aren't finishing the passes, and he feels like they're losing games because guys aren't completing the assist, he's going to start trying to take over. And then on top of that, he's going to go to Vegas on a private plane every now and then because he feels like it. And he's going to want the kids to go with. And he's going to go to strip clubs. And he's going to stay out all night. And he's got a steel liver. And he's going to teach kids how to drink and how to party and how to do all the things you don't want your young squad to be doing when they're trying to make names for themselves in this league. And we haven't even gotten to what is it going to cost and for how many years.
Yeah,
because I think that's key.
Before we go to the finances of it, Tyrese Maxey, Philadelphia 76er, about Harden. When James came in, I think I got a really clear vision of when I had to be aggressive to score and then aggressive to create for others. I think it really did help me and my game blossomed. So you do have a player that is speaking glowingly about James Harden helping his development. I understand the concerns. Like, we've been talking about this forever because Harden's been rumored to come back to Houston all season long. For me, I need to have a really good grasp of, is James Harden willing to accept a role on this team? And, like, I don't care if he's the star. I don't care if he's flying to Vegas, quite honestly. Like, NBA players do that. It's what the NBA players do. He needs to be able to have the buy-in, understand that the development of the young players is still the most important thing, and I understand why you all would have reservations of this. I have reservations of this myself. And also from, like, the financial aspect, I don't care about the AAV when it comes to Harden because the Rockets are going to have money to spend, and you have to have players that are willing to come and take the money. So I think Harden's going to be one of the better free agents if he does opt out of that, you know, player option that he has with Philadelphia. To me, it's about the length. Like, if he wants more than 2 years, that's where I draw the line. I'm willing to do 2 years with you, Harden. I don't care if it's max money because I don't think I'm getting great free agents anyways. The 2 years isn't going to prevent me from signing my own young players. If Harden's demanding more than 2 years, that's where I personally draw the line.
I look at so many different factors when you put him into this lineup, and I think that the trips to Vegas are going to hurt. I've seen him deter the development of young players when he was with Houston because he took young players and started taking them on benders and road trips to Atlanta and Vegas and all over the place. And they were at the most inopportune times. Maybe the schedule gave you a day or two, but it was at a time where either they were starting to play well or certain players were starting to do things. And they came back and you could tell, like, they can't hang with a dude that has this much experience in the clubs and doing the kind of lifestyle that he's been doing. And I think that could have a negative effect.
What young players did he ruin, though, with Houston?
I'm not naming names. I'm just going to tell you were several.
But what young players were here that had promise that never reached their potential?
There was a couple.
Who? Like, I'm trying to think because the Rockets never
had
high traffic.
I'm not going to say it on the air because I'm saying too much, but I'm saying that it wasn't just me. We saw the development of guys that they had that they saw things in, and we saw things to where they were making progress, and then all of a sudden we had to find out secondhand that they were on a private plane and they went on a bender.
I don't doubt that at all. I think that happens a lot in the NBA, but I think if young players during Harden's time as a Houston Rocket, Clint Capella had great development with James Harden and the Houston Rockets. Chandler Parsons probably came into the early years of James Harden and had great development as a second rounder. So and the Rockets never had great picks. So, like, I don't remember any, like, first-round draft picks the Rockets had that James Harden killed their development as a Houston Rocket.
And yeah, but it's not about just, like...
Right, but you're not really counting on second-rounders to be anything.
He ruins a culture for a reason. Like, while
how many losing teams has he been on in his career?
Not that many, but, like, just because you can go and have a great game after being in Vegas and drop 40 points, it's about the guy who's the eighth, ninth guy off the bench that went with you that doesn't play to their potential because they also went to Vegas.
Sure.
Like, and that's what my issue with Harden is. It's not that I don't think Jalen Green and Jabari Smith couldn't live that lifestyle if they wanted to, and James couldn't just be like, look, there's work you have to do to go with it, but it's the other guys. And that to me is like, it's just the risk is not worth the reward.
What are you risking, though? Like, you just won how many games this season? 20 games? The risk that you're putting on the line is the development of young players.
Yeah, then that's what it is.
That's the risk. It's not about losing a bunch of games. The Rockets are already great at losing a bunch of games.
You're right, but, like, what's the reward?
Playoffs. You're a playoff team. You're relevant again in the NBA. You're selling tickets just like everybody else.
But that's not
the goal. We just talked about the Houston. Says who?
Says Tillman. Tillman said it's about learning how to win and then winning a championship.
Joe.
What does James Harden teach you about learning how to win basketball games?
Nothing. Well, James Harden, how many teams has James Harden been on that have lost games? James Harden has not been a loser over the course of his career. He is in the playoffs, so I'll concede that point.
Yes.
But how many years in a row has he been in the postseason?
I think Tillman cares about making money, and I think on the short term, because they just haven't been able to sell tickets and get people to care about this team again. James being in Houston, whether he's got whatever ability he's got left and what he's going to do or not do, James puts you back on the map from the standpoint of star power. James puts you back on the map from jersey sales. He makes you more interesting with ticket sales. Depending on what draft pick you get on top of that, could sell you enough tickets and merchandise to make the owner happy and make it worthwhile in the short term. That's what I think Tillman's focused on. He could say those things that he said previously, but I think he also realizes he took it in the shorts this year. They couldn't get people to go to the games. They couldn't get people to care less about this team.
This is the same conversation we just had with the Texans. Like, this is the same conversation of like, okay, well, Kyle McNair is going to be very interested in bringing players in here that are going to sell T-shirts, sell merchandise, sell season tickets, right?
Yep.
Like, we just had the same conversation with the Texans. Now, they didn't go out and sign a free agent that was formerly here that, like, you know, kind of it would have been like Deshaun Watson probably would have been the comparison. This is the James Harden way. So, like, whenever I hear what's the goal, I hear, well, the goal is to be better next year with a new head coach and Ime Udoka. The goal is to have Toyota Center with more people in the seats and make more money as a revenue stream. And Tillman Fertitta is a businessman. Like, I totally understand the concerns. And I'm not a James Harden guy. Like, I feel sick defending James Harden, to be completely honest with you. But the Rockets would be a better team next year than they were this year. They will have way more season ticket sales. They'll sell way more merchandise. They'll have way more eyeballs on the product. So, like, I think that's the goal, to answer the question.
I think that's the goal. I think it's stupid for fans to buy in that quickly to take him back after he was the one that wanted out, that didn't want anything to do with being here anymore, after they kissed his rear end for 8 years and did all the things that they did. But I think all those things are true. And I think that when you take a guy that led the league in assists and you insert him for a guy that led the league in turnovers pretty much the whole year and shouldn't even be a point guard in Kevin Porter Jr., you're going to be better. Now, it should translate to winning more games. The one that I would throw into you now as another caveat is, does he hurt you also in the draft? Because if you get, you have a top four protected pick next year with Oklahoma City, otherwise it's theirs. If he does the things that you're saying, he takes away your first round pick. But if they do this one more year with this young nucleus, they could maintain their first round pick and they could get another young player.
Well, I think that's going to be a lottery call next year, personally. Like, I don't think they'll have a top four pick.
Even with Harden?
Yeah. I think they're going to be more competitive next year. The thing is, they're
going to. Right. I really hope you're right.
They're going to spend. That's the one thing. Tillman and Udoka and Stone at that press conference talked. They all talked about cap space. They've got $60 million. They're going to spend it somewhere. So, like, is it James or is it someone else? But also, like, you know, when you talk about jersey sales and butts and seats, how much does tomorrow night matter? You know, the Chicago Blackhawks.
$500 million. That's what it means.
They sold $5.2 million in season tickets. A hockey team, after they won a lottery. Like, if the Rockets win the lottery tomorrow night, and everyone knows they're getting Wembanyama, like, do you need James Harden to put butts in seats?
I don't think so.
Isn't this kid supposed to be a prospect that does that?
Yeah, it would. It would. You're right. You wouldn't need it.
If your goal is just to make money, then Wembanyama.
Yeah, then win the lotto. Just go out and win the lotto. Well, that's all you got to do is go win the lotto.
14%. You got to get lucky tomorrow night.
Come on. Like, you don't need hard. You just got to win the lotto.
No, I'm just saying, you get lucky.
You don't need a job. You just got to win the lotto. Sounds like a solid plan.
But if you
plan.
Win the lotto, then I think that maybe even the most staunch bring Houston back, Harden back to Houston guys might ease their stance a little bit, knowing that you get a guy that is going to transform this entire franchise. I think they won the offseason already with Udoka. I think that they would screw up a lot of the luster of winning the offseason so far if they bring James back. James doesn't like Doc Rivers. Even if he stays in Philly, he wants Doc out because Doc was too structured and Doc didn't let players get away with stuff that he's been used to getting away with. I think that Udoka is going to be the same as Doc in terms of how he keeps structure in the locker room, and that's not conducive to bringing James Harden into that locker room.
713-780-ESPN. What side of this are you on? 713-780-3776. Also, about Ja Morant and what he was doing over the weekend. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Apollo Men's Health taking care of people on a daily basis. That means for both men and women, they have a way to get more energy in your life on a daily basis. You need more energy to get more things done, whether it's that on your job to-do list you got to get done, or you want to get to the gym. You want to take care of, you know, hanging out with the kids. You want to do all the things that your wife needs you to do, and then you want to make sure that you don't fall asleep by 8 o'clock at night because you're gassed. That's where Apollo can step in and get you a variety of different ways to get more energy. Both men and women are there on a daily basis, reaping the benefits of the ways they can help. You want to lose weight? They now have an FDA-approved semaglutide that can help you lose up to 6 pounds in a week. That means if you are struggling to lose weight, and before you even get on a workout program, you can get on a program with Apollo Men's Health that can help you start the process of slimming down. It's absolutely fantastic. I know people that have done it. They're reaping the results. You can do the same thing. They have two locations to better serve you in your downtown Houston. The way you start the process, just get online and go to apollomh.com. See all the services. sign up for a first appointment if you see a couple that can help you. And then understand that besides the fact that they'll take care of you because most major insurance is accepted and there's discounts for military personnel and first responders, it's also to the level of absolutely taking care of you by making sure that they care, they listen, they're going to ask you what you want to get to in your goals, and then they're going to help you get to those goals and achieve them by making sure the program works for you. They've done it for me. They've done it for a lot of people in Houston. You could be the next in line. Check them out today, the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ocho says if the Rockets draft Wimby, he's choosing violence. I think he wants Brandon Miller.
Oh, my God, Ouch. How can you, again, we were talking about the business of basketball. It you know, it's one thing to just base it on the ability of the player. But whether you believe the early prognostication for him being $500 million for whichever team gets him, Wembanyama, both on and off the court, is going to draw eyeballs. He's going to draw ratings. He's going to draw attention. And people are going to pay to see him and support him and buy his jerseys and hope that he develops. That's a win for whichever team gets him, no matter what dollar figure you put on it, that no owner's walking away from to take Miller or Scoot or somebody else. If you get number one and you walk away from Victor Wembanyama, you should be fired immediately.
The thing I do find interesting on the Harden thing, because again, look, I do not care if James Harden's not a Houston Rocket. I could not care less. Now, if they sign him, but I don't care if he's here for the next 2 years either. Now, if it's longer than a two-year deal, I will pound this table and say it's a stupid decision. What I do find ironic, though, like on the sports scene in Houston, is the same people that are crushing Jose Abreu and how bad of a contract that was are also the same ones saying give max contract to James Harden.
Yeah, this is stupid.
Like, didn't you just learn your lesson with right. Abreu? Like, if you're going to sign Harden, cool, do it for 2 years. Do it for a one-and-one. A one-year deal with the player option for another. Like, it needs to be short-term. So the same people in this city that are crushing the signing of Jose Abreu are telling you to sign James Harden to the max contract for the max years, and it's like, have you not learned your lesson?
Yeah.
James Harden is Jose Abreu.
There's so many things here, too, because of the fact that I heard Pauly talking about James wants to run it back with Philly. No, James is smart because, James, to your point, James just is all about getting money. And he knows that the more competition there is for his services, the higher the price tag goes, and the more he gets closer to where he wants to be, which is a max player again. And he knows that if he pushes the whole desire to win it, run him back with Philly, that his boy Daryl Morey is going to do, believe, you know, in James we trust, and he's going to put his eggs in James's basket and bring him back and say, look, if I get Tobias's money off the books and I keep Joel and the leading assist man in the NBA together and I add a piece here or there, we can run this thing back. And he's going to, because he and everybody in Philly, they're James Harden stands, and they're going to go for it. But James did that because now if you're Houston, you go, oh, God, what if he does? What if Daryl wants him back and he wants to go back to Philly? We might have to up the ante. And then, lo and behold, the Rockets could come in with their max money, and James could go, well, Philly, you either offer me the max money. Now he's got competition. Now they're playing against each other. He's the winner in the deal no matter how he plays next year and for how many years he signs for. And the deal is done.
Yeah.
So I think that's a problem. I think if you didn't want John Wall in your building to be the man,
yeah,
but you want James Harden?
See, I can live with the decision of bring Harden back. I'm not going to live with the decision of he's going to be a max player for 4 years. That, to me, is just stupid. That is really stupid.
And you got to be forward-thinking enough to look at who am I going to have to start paying when?
Yes.
And who would I like to add free agency when these guys start to really, truly blossom, especially whoever you get,
yeah,
if you get a Victor Wembanyama. And you can't have Harden's contract competing with the guys you want to add.
You don't want him at all. I can live
I don't
with
want
a two-year max.
Well, I think it does, you know, signal that, like, who he was in Philly is who he's going to be in Houston if he does sign a contract that's not a max. Like, if he shows, like, I'll take less money to come home, to be with this young team, mm-hmm, to be a piece in a hopefully a title team in 2 or 3 years – like, that signals a different person than the guy who's giving out honey buns and, like, doing all the James Harden stuff.
I don't care about the AAV, though. Like, it'd be great if he took less than the max for a year. I care more about the length. That, to me, is the biggest deal.
You could sign him to a max deal for 2 years and still have money to get a couple of veterans.
Yeah, and it's not going to hurt you signing a young player.
But what happens – but see,
But I still think on the court in the locker room, it's a crusher.
And I agree that that's very possible.
The hardest part with the NBA is because, like, it's always ifs. It's ifs and whens. It's like, when will Giannis demand a trade? When will Luka demand a trade? And, like, the idea that in the next 2 years, you cannot be able to trade for a Giannis Antetokounmpo, a Luka Doncic, like, whoever, because you signed James Harden to a 2-year max contract sounds awful to me. Like, just even the potential that, like, there could be a real superstar out there that you might not be able to get because you chose James Harden feels like bad business. Like,
I've just been around the guy too much to know how selfish and egotistical he is to think that he is going to be a willing facilitator only and take a secondary role to whether it be Jalen Green or whoever you get in the draft. Or
so your hang-up's the team around him because he did do that this year. So it's because of his teammates more than anything else.
No, I think he's going to stunt the development of a lot of good players on this roster, for one.
Yeah.
And I think that he knows how he's been treated by this organization in the past, and there's one guy that's still here that he calls out, but he called out. Now, he didn't want to be the general manager, but he loved having him in his corner when he was the legal counsel. And I think that as long as Rafael Stone's the general manager, especially if the owner says, I want this dude, they're going to try and find a way to make it work.
Yeah. That's kind of why I feel like he just stays in Philly, because he gets Mike D'Antoni.
Paul's theory makes some sense. Paul's theory was that he's kind of like he's kind of playing hardball a little bit, like doing a little business to try to get what he wants in Philly, and he just opts into his deal. Because he's got the option. He's got player options.
Does it go up next year?
I'm not sure the escalator on it, but he can be a Sixer next price. Year.
He already bitches about the fact that he only made 30-some million this year, which no one sheds a tear about.
I mean, it's his option, though. Like, it's his option to pick up or not pick up. So
he did Daryl a solid. That's why he got the option, because he took less than he thought he was worth on the open market.
It's roughly the same. It jumps up $2.5 million. Okay. It goes from 33 to 35.5. So it's not a huge escalator. It just kind of like inflation more than anything else. But it's a player option. He could opt into that deal.
I also think that he wants to win. I think that he knows for his legacy that he's trying to build, that he believes in. I think he wants a title, but he wants his cake and he wants to eat it too. He wants a max deal and he still wants to win. And that's a difficult proposition for a guy in his situation.
Yeah, I don't think I want Harden. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's get to the jaw stuff on the other side. Also, I want to make a deal with Joe George about a specific Chicago Cub that we'll be seeing. I don't know, is he pitching this week? I don't know, we'll have to see.
You want to bet on it?
But I want to make, if he's pitching?
No, I just think Joe's capable of making bad bets, so you should set it up so you can
cash in. I don't
want
to jinx the Astros. Okay. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Illness.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
How about John Moran being an idiot, Blankers?
Yeah,
brandishing a gun on IG Live. I don't even, like, the politics side of stuff, don't really care. I don't pay attention to it. Like, I don't know where he was. I don't know if it was his gun. Like, he might have a license for it. I have no idea. Like, I don't care about all that stuff. But to be such an idiot to post it, like, whoever had it on Instagram Live, to have it where everybody can see you and everybody knows that the next time you have one, everybody's just going to jump all over you, shows a serious lack of intelligence.
Yeah, I've had people tell me, hey, look, you know what? It's his own business on his own time. He wasn't on a basketball court. If he's in a right to carry, you know, state, he can do whatever the hell he wants. But from the standpoint of the remorse that he showed when he did the interview with ESPN and with
Jalen Rose.
With the fact that he continues to talk about the fact that he thought that he got left off the All-NBA teams, and he knows why. I mean, and I think for the voters, good on them. They decided that it was about your image. It's about your overall way you carry yourself. You represent your team. You represent yourself. You represent the league. I think the fact that he says one thing, he does another. And then I think it's also about who you're hanging out with, too, because I think he's going to cost himself over $100 million when all is said and done. I think between the suspensions, the lost endorsements, the lost ability to get a supermax because he didn't make one of the top three All-NBA teams, like, you just went through this, and you woe is me'd your way through the rest of the playoffs saying, man, I know a lot of this is on me and everything that I've been through, and I feel like everybody just really hates me, and I'm going to show the world that there's a different me in here. I don't think you're showing anybody that you have any remorse or that any of this made a difference in the way that you're carrying yourself. And I think that you're surrounding yourself with the wrong... The guy driving the car was the guy with the laser pointer that got banned forever from the FedEx Forum. So I don't think he has your best interest in mind or his own. And I've heard all these different rumors and theories and things like that. But you've got to really reevaluate your whole life on a daily basis and realize this is costing you a boat ton of money.
He's just stupid. Like that's there's no looking beyond that. Like, it's just a dumb thing to do. And what I immediately thought of was the interview, because I remember we were talking about the next day and we were mocking it. Like, he went to a therapist for a day and all of a sudden he has a different mantra in life and he's going to have a different way to channel energy. And we were sitting there, this is not going to be something that lasts. Like, this is just him saying what is right, trying to get back into the good graces of everybody. And we were wondering at the time if he's going to have another situation like this. And it doesn't even take a few months that he has another situation. 2 months.
It was March 4th.
So, like, the legalities of him having the gun, maybe he had a license. I have no idea, but I don't care. You're just so stupid to be showing that publicly. Don't put it on Instagram Live. Don't be looking for likes and impressions. Like, don't go public with it. Don't be an idiot.
The first time I would be, for lack of a better term, so gun shy, anybody pointing a phone at me to know if I had a weapon, and obviously I would know if I had a weapon somewhere near me or on me. But anytime I see a phone pointed at me, the last thing I'm doing is making anything visible that says I'm still doing what I used to do. And if it's one of my boys doing it,
yeah.
Like, what are we doing here?
Like, it's very easy to have just to have a no gun rule, but hey, you do you. Like, I can't tell you to have a no gun rule. How about just have a no Instagram Live rule where we can't have public videos that go live for everybody to see? How about you just do that?
It's like Josh Gordon, like, dude, you know you're getting drug tested. Like, just stop for like, you get like, he got drug tested once a year and he couldn't pass a test. Like, just use your brain.
Yeah, it's just like
a when you little think bit. About it, Nike signed him to a massive deal, six figures in the millions, gave him his own shoe. They didn't want to release it at all before the first incident was coming out. And this was after he beat the heck out of and flashed a gun to a 17-year-old that took him to school on his basketball court at his house. And by the way, the driver of the car in the video, he was there too. He's been there through all these things. Guilty by association, stop associating with the dude. I know it's hard, but sometimes you got to do those kind of things. But when you think about it, if the Nike deal goes away, you got to believe the Powerade or whatever, he has an energy drink, that's going to go away. You're already talking about over $100 million. Then the suspension money. Then the fact that he can't get a Supermax because he hasn't made an All-NBA team. And I don't care what he came from a comfortable middle-aged family. I don't care. This money matters. And your image matters. Your image is in the toilet, and now it's there again, and someone's willing to flush it with the NBA saying, we're aware. And the Grizzlies suspended you, but we're investigating too. Not a good look for a guy that wants to be the face of the NBA.
Yeah, it's stupid. Like, Jay Moron, like, that's his name. Like, he's just dumb.
It's crazy that, like, this almost should be Bad Take Boulevard, but it's the correct take. I saw Jake's tweet yesterday about R.J. Barrett. Like,
are you allowed to say that guy's name?
He was the best pick in that draft now because Zion's fat and won't get on the court, and Ja Morant's an idiot. Like, R.J. Barrett, like, looks like a superstar right now compared to those guys.
In name only because of the other two guys. Because he ain't a superstar in a building.
No, I know, but like...
You got the same guy shaking a cup hoping Giannis goes to the Knicks. I mean, that's how New York gets better. But I mean,
it's crazy that like the talent taken in front of him...
Zion's in New Orleans, though. Like, there's no chance for him to be skinny. Like, you're just going to eat good there.
Well, yeah, but when you're trying to teach a guy to walk and run again and you say that publicly... And then the other bad look of the fact that a guy goes out and is doing windmills and reverse dunks and warm-ups and then can't play in the most important game of the year because mentally he's not there yet. Yeah. I mean, both guys, who, by the way, grew up playing on the same AAU team together, as much as everybody looked at that draft going, man, these two dudes, they're gonna carry the league. Oh, they're carrying it all right in the wrong direction.
Yeah, big time the wrong direction.
Oso has a good point. He says, Josh Gordon at least had an addiction issue. What's Jaws' excuse? It's a good point.
Being a dummy.
He has an addiction to being an idiot.
So now the fun question. What do you do if they call?
The Grizzlies?
Yeah.
You take Joffer and say, what do they want? Jalen Green and?
Well, I wouldn't trade Jalen Green
for Ja. I wouldn't trade Jalen Green for Ja Morant right now.
You wouldn't?
No chance.
Not right now.
No.
Because you never know. Like, this guy has shown, like,
He's facing a lengthy suspension. Like, they said the NBA is going to suspend him.
I got John Lucas
him.
Here.
Because, like, what is he suspended for?
No. I would. Exactly.
Like, he's suspended from team activities. It's the offseason.
But embarrassing the NBA.
No, but, like, for, like, how long? Like, he's suspended from team activities.
The NBA, I read something today. The NBA is going to give him a lengthy suspension.
Yeah. They want it long enough to hurt. I don't think anything's going to hurt him.
Maybe 20, 25. Maybe.
Well, I think you just. So the new rule is you have to play in 66 games to be MVP.
So just 15.
All NBA. So you just automatically just remove the ability for him to be MVP now.
15 like games.
They've got that. They've got one in the chamber.
15 like, games.
That's... They got two, right? Because they don't think the money hurts him, but they want to make it hurt in the pocket because they can.
They can stop. They can basically stop Ja Morant from getting a Supermax.
I would trade for Ja.
I
wouldn't trade Jalen. Like, I would have to get him for pennies on the dollar.
Like, I don't know about pennies.
I would give him the sixth pick of the draft right. Where they end up tomorrow.
James Harden or Ja Morant?
Ja
Morant.
No doubt.
Really?
Yeah I hate James Harden.
Ability-wise, where they are in the
I know.
Just basketball ability-wise.
I don't trust Ja at all right now.
You have Lucas, and it's Texas, baby.
And Guns are cool.
I mean, for the record, you don't for sure have Lucas.
That's true.
I think they're going to bump him up, but I think he's going to stay.
It's not Rafael loves it's not Luke. Official.
Well, he's not moving the city, though. He's still going to be in the city of Houston.
Well, he could get a coaching job elsewhere.
He's got he's got the Lucas thing. Doesn't he have like a little clinic?
He's got his academy.
Yeah. He's got his academy in Houston.
But with Ime Udoka as a true named veteran coach and Luke and a fresh start, and then you just got to make sure you hire someone to keep that guy away from him, his buddy. Because that's
don't take away his phone. Like, that's all you have to do is deactivate that dude's Instagram account.
I know security guys that have certain rules for their players.
But, like, it wasn't that guy's phone that got Ja the first time, was it? I think it was just, like, he was just in a club with a gun, and, like, it was public
setting.
I think
he did it to himself.
So, like, I don't know if Ja, like, you can take away, like, his friends' phones, but, like, he has shown that he doesn't have the intelligence to just not do this and not get caught in public.
I've seen this happen numerous times with players and the guys that they grew up with, that they hang with, that caused like 100 times more problems.
It's a huge problem.
They
were.
But guys aren't going to push away from the people that have had their backs. But that doesn't have your back. I heard one take, and I'm interested in your guys' theory, that this guy, I don't even know his name, that his best buddy is on the take with the Memphis Police Department, and that he was doing this to set Ja up. Like, and my argument was, why would he do that? Like, his bread is being buttered on a daily basis by his boy, and now you're going to set him up?
Set him up for what, though? What did he do that was illegal?
I mean, evidently with the league and everything, to get caught and tarnished. I don't know how that helps either party.
Why would the police department care about that, though?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't believe
it. It was brought to me, and I'm going, but where's the benefit?
I don't understand.
Way.
I don't get the motive.
I don't even know if this video was taken in Memphis.
Yeah, I don't get the motive.
Because the
at
other
all.
Thing is, his buddy, the police investigated it, but he didn't face any charges. So what is this trying to do? Is he trying to get back in the building at the FedEx Forum? So if Ja gets traded, you don't worry about it anyway. But Ja's the only reason why you're relevant, and it's for a bad thing right now.
I'm not buying that one. Ja Morant right now, no Harden. Joe George, shut your filthy mouth. He's not a big fan of you, Joe. Eric the Driver said.
I could tell.
Sauce Gardner said it pretty well. I didn't realize Sauce said this, but it is a pretty good saying. Quote, we all have guns, just don't show it on Instagram Live.
For sure.
Like, we understand that athletes have guns. The average American has guns
kiss
on
method.
A pretty, like, you know, decent percentage.
Keep it simple, stupid.
You got to sit down with your...
Don't put
you
it
online,
man.
You
got to
sit down with the guys
keep
that you hang with.
Keep it in your pocket. With. Keep it in the holster. Like, don't show it. Stay off Instagram Live.
There's too many cases like this where all it should take is a player sitting down with his buddies and saying, guys, you're on my team, per se. Some of them are getting paid by the player. Don't do anything to screw it up for me and for you. Just be smart. Like, you can take Instagram pictures because before you just tell me when you're going to post something, let me see it before you post it. But you can't see it and approve of it when it's live.
But yeah, but it's not the guy's responsibility for Ja to keep it in his pants.
Yeah, sure. But he's also, like, if you're friends of somebody that high in stature, you have to take care of him. You got to be in the lookout for him.
But if you watch the video, like, he immediately, like, he
did try
he
to
has,
help
like,
him.
A shocked
he
face.
He put the phone down,
he puts the phone down, and, like, I think it's very fair to assume, like, you just screwed up, dude.
Don't go live.
That's right.
Oh, yeah,
that's right.
Don't go
live. Do a story where
ask
you can
Antonio
hit the
Brown.
X.
Don't go live.
So dumb. All right, Mailbag Monday, whatever you want to ask the Killer Bees, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, whatever questions you have about anything, 713-780-3776, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, and ESPN 92.5.